First Peter chapter 2, we read there in the verse 6, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." At the end of 2001, the Leaning Tower of Pisa was finally reopened to the public. It had been closed for almost 10 years. During that time, engineers completed a 30 million euro renovation. In so doing, they removed 110 tons of dirt and inserted 15 meter concrete pillars into its foundations in an attempt to stop the 183 foot tower my toppling over. And the question arises, what was the problem? Was it bad design or was it bad workmanship? The problem was the foundation. It had been built on porous clay. And the Lord, knowing the importance of a good foundation, he tells us in verse 6, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone." Of course, the cornerstone of a building being removed, it, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, it then begins to lean and it will eventually collapse. You see, the foundation or the cornerstone was my fundamental. And as the cornerstone, Christ is not merely someone to be considered, but he is crucial. Without resting your soul upon him, your soul will eventually perish. Indeed, the Lord speaking, in one of the parables, he told them of two men who decided to build houses. While they used the same materials, one of them built his house upon the sand, the other built his house upon the rock. While their buildings outwardly looked impressive and were identical, yet the one built upon the sand, the storms coming, it began to crack and it eventually was swept away. You see, only that which is built upon Christ, the solid rock, will withstand the storms of judgment. Every other rock is but a sham rock. You know, a few years ago, a builder in Canada developing a site, the houses looked magnificent. They were in big demand. People paid big money to buy them. However, winter coming, the snow falling and the wind beginning to blow, one of the houses fell into a hole, and then another fell into another hole, and then another fell into another hole. Experts being brought in, they discovered that the development, the houses had been built on a rubbish tip. And you see, you can spend much time in building up and adorning your life, but if your life is built upon your works or upon your worship or upon your worth, it will eventually collapse. You see, you need a good foundation. And I wonder tonight, what are you building your life upon? What are you building even your hope for eternity upon? Are you building it upon your works? Are you building it upon your ideas? Or are you building it upon Christ? You see, my friend, the foundation is fundamental. And if you're not building on Christ, then when the storms come and the trials might begin to blow and judgment comes, then there will be disaster. And so just for a few moments this evening, I want to consider Christ as the foundation or as the cornerstone. I want you to notice firstly here that he is a special stone. He here, quoting from the prophecy of Isaiah, he said in that verse 6, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone." You notice here that he is speaking in the singular. It is a chief cornerstone. And he's seeking to emphasize that there was not any other cornerstone. He then goes on in the verse to describe it as being precious. Something that is precious is extremely rare. If gold was an abundance, then gold would have no real value. In other words, he was indicating here that Christ was not merely a foundation, but that he was the only foundation. You see, Christ is not merely a stable foundation, but he is the sole foundation. Beside him, there is no other hope, and there is no other plea. Indeed, Peter, speaking on the day of Pentecost, he said in Acts 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." To the Jews, names were of great importance. They held those of the prophets and the patriarchs in the highest possible esteem. However, now drawing their eyes away from Moses and away from Abraham and away from Elijah, Peter reminded them that in regard to salvation, there was no other name other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the path to heaven is not a principle, nor is it a practice, but it is a person. It is through Christ, and Christ alone. You know, when Solomon's temple was being built in the Old Testament, the stones were prepared in a quarry. And when all the hammer work was finished, they were then transported to the Temple Mount. It is said that in the middle of the construction site that there was this great stone. There was nothing particularly attractive about it. The laborers going about their work had always seemed to be in the way. They were tripping over it. And so the foreman gave the order that the stone was to be rolled down the hill and to be rolled into the valley, Kidron. Eventually coming to the place the cornerstone needed to be set in, the foreman sent word to the quarry, "Send up the cornerstone." Those in the quarry sent the word back, "But we sent the stone many, many months ago." And suddenly they realized that the stone they had rolled down, the stone they had rejected, the stone they had no place for, they had rolled it down into the Kidron Valley. And going down to the brook, they had to haul it back up. And you see, Christ is the only foundation. Christ is the only way to heaven. And my friend, miss Christ, and you will miss heaven. And I wonder tonight, what are you resting on? What are you resting on for life? What are you resting on for heaven this evening? Christ is not only a cornerstone, he's the only cornerstone. And my friend, miss him, and your life will crack, and your soul will eventually perish. Not only is he a special stone, he is a satisfying stone. Speaking at the end of verse 6, Peter said, "And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." The word confounded there simply means to put to shame or to disappoint. It refers not only to the present, but it also refers to the future. In other words, he was telling them that if they let go every other trust and rested only on Christ, not only would they not be disappointed, but they would never, never be disappointed. You see, God's salvation is not only free, but it is full. It never disappoints, but it delights the soul. Indeed, the Lord warning the people in the days of Isaiah that they falling down before idols of wood and stone, that they would be disappointed. He then said in Isaiah 50 and verse 17, "But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end." Well, the word ashamed means to be disappointed. The word confounded here means to be humiliated. In other words, he was saying that they lifting their eyes and they looking away to the Lord Jesus Christ, they would never,
be disappointed, never be humiliated, never be ashamed in this world or the world to come. You see, Christ not only saves the soul, but he satisfies the soul. In him, there is greater peace and there are greater promises than we can ever imagine. You know, a university student, having a lofty view of his intellect, he came to his pastor one day and said, "I've decided that I don't believe in God." The pastor very wisely looked at her and said, "Well, could you describe to me the God that you no longer believe in?" She proceeded to sketch a character of God as being unfair, unjust, and uncruel. And the pastor, listening for a few moments, he then said, "Well, we're in the same boat, because I don't believe in that God either." And how many this evening, and they have false ideas of God, and they have false ideas of salvation. They imagine, if I get saved, my life is at an end. I can never smile, I can never have joy. But that is the devil's lie. The Queen of Sheba, coming into the city of Jerusalem and beholding its beauty, she confessed, "The half was not told me." And I want to tell you, my friend, this evening, that is the cry. That is the cry of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who ever comes to Christ. He is greater than we thought. He is greater than we ever imagined. His peace is not just peace, but his peace that passeth all understanding. His joy that grows with every day. It brings to heaven, which is beyond description. And I tell you tonight, if only you come and only you build your life upon him, rest upon him, you'll not be disappointed. More than that, he is a supportive stone. He said in verse 5, "He also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house." He describes them here as stones being built upon Christ. Of course, when you are building a new building, there is always a certain amount of settlement. As the timbers and the slates press down upon the walls or upon the stones in the walls, rather than crushing them, they press them down tighter, closer to the foundation. They bring them closer, cementing them even to the foundation. And while there are the pressures and trials in the Christian life, yet rather than being destructive, they are constructive. They draw us into a closer walk even with the Lord. Paul said in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." You notice there the little phrase, "all things." In the following verse, we find him talking about principalities and powers and about life and death. In other words, he was here indicating that even these things, rather than separating them from the love of Christ, they would draw them even closer to the Savior. You see, as well as saving the soul, the Lord shelters the soul. And as such, the troubles of life, rather than driving man from Christ, it draws them even closer to Christ. You know, an elderly lady, being on her deathbed, her family and friends gathered around. One of them looking and seeing that her breathing was becoming very labored, she looked and she said, "She is sinking." By the old lady opening up her eyes, she spoke and she said, "How can you sink through a rock?" And you know, if only you rest your soul upon Christ, my friend, he will never let you down. Even the trials and troubles of life that will ultimately come, we heard tonight that my coming to Christ doesn't mean that you have no troubles, you have no trials. Sometimes the storms become deeper and stronger. but God taking them. He fashions them and uses them to draw us closer. Even death itself, rather than destroying us, brings us into heaven to be with Christ for all eternity. My friend, as the foundation, as the cornerstone bore the weight of the building, Christ will bear you up. Yes, there'll be troubles if you come to Him. Yes, there'll be foolish people, and in their ignorance they'll mock and they'll laugh. But He'll bear you up. He is the rock. He will bear you up. But lastly, I want you to notice He is a stumbling stone. In verse 7, we find Peter speaking there of two and only two types of people. They were those who believed and those who were disobedient. And why the Lord is to those who believe a cornerstone, He then, speaking of those who did not believe, He said in verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. He would become to those who would reject Him, who would not believe, a stumbling stone. Of course, when you trip or stumble on a stone, you don't hurt the stone, but you end up hurting yourself. In other words, He was reminding them here that rejecting Christ, the foundation, the cornerstone, they would only hurt themselves, bringing judgment upon themselves. You see, in rejecting Christ, men do not injure the Savior. They only injure their own souls. They bring upon themselves even greater eternal judgment. Indeed, the Lord speaking in the parable of the vineyard, He then said in Matthew 21, verse 44, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And He was here reminding them that in rejecting Him, they would not only injure themselves, as a man falling upon a stone or upon a rock injures himself, but that He would then in judgment fall upon them. That in so doing He would grind them to powder. And of course the stone that is ground to powder cannot be recovered. You see, while Christ is to those who believe a stepping stone to glory, He is to those who refuse to believe the stepping stone to judgment. And in rejecting Him and in injuring Him, or seeking to do so, they only injure themselves. You know, it was said that along the Atlantic coast of the United States of America, 100,000 birds every year fly directly into the lighthouses. And flying into the great light, they kill themselves. And you see, tonight you can either be guided by the light of the gospel, or you can fly against it, fly into it, seeking to extinguish it, seeking to destroy it. But you'll only end up destroying your own soul. He is the cornerstone. In Him there is life. In Him there is stability. In Him there is hope. But build your life upon your ideas, upon the ideas of society. And my friend, it may all look well, but the day is coming when the storms will begin to blow. And unless you're on Christ, the cracks will begin to appear. And you will fall and be broken, brought into judgment. Oh, I wonder tonight, are you ready? Are you ready to face the storms? He is the chief cornerstone. Of course, when you step the stone upon the foundation, what you're doing is the stone is placing its whole weight upon it. And if only you tonight give up every other trust and lay your whole weight upon Christ, my friend, He will save you. He will save you. Do you ever see a man going out and building? He begins to build and he digs a little. He finds a rock. It's only one rock, and then the rock runs out. And he starts to build, and part of the house is built upon the rock, and part of it is built upon the clay or upon the sand. What happens? The house goes up, it looks well, but settlement starts, and the cracks begin to appear. And how many tonight across our land, and if you were to talk to them and say, yes, preacher, I'm resting in Christ, I'm building my life in Christ. But when you begin to question them a little more closely, you'll discover, yes, they say that, but at the same time, they're depending upon their works. They're depending upon their churchianity. And if you're building partly, trying to build partly on Christ and partly upon your works, the cracks will appear. And all that you build will come crumbling down. He is the cornerstone. And my friend, if you are to be saved, if you're to have hope as our sister has that hope, you need to build on Christ alone. Not partly upon Christ and the church, or partly upon Christ and what you have done, but wholly, only, solely upon Christ. What are you depending on this evening? What are you depending on tonight for heaven? If the death angel was to come tonight, and my friend, you faced eternity, what are you depending on? If it's not on Christ and Christ alone, then there's no hope. Your soul will perish. He is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. Oh, this evening, will you throw your trust, rest only, solely upon Him? And yes, there'll be troubles. Yes, there'll be trials. But He will bear your weight. He will carry you. And He'll carry you to glory, to be with Him. I trust tonight, if you're not saved, that you'll look away and look away to Christ and trust Him this evening.